Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with legendary broadcast journalist, author, and longtime cancer research advocate Katie Couric about serving as a cancer caregiver, how she dealt with her new normal as a mom, and about her new endeavor with Merck's Your Cancer Game Plan through a program called With Love, Me. In 1997, Katie's journey with cancer began when her husband, Jay, was diagnosed with colorectal cancer that had spread to his liver. For 9 months, she served as his caregiver, heightening her sense of being present and appreciating the day-to-day with her husband before his passing.
It's incredibly challenging and incredibly difficult and painful and traumatic to see someone you love get sicker and sicker. So every day was a challenge. I always felt like I had a vice around my heart every single day. And it started to affect me physically. You know, I had a lot of pain in my back. I didn't sleep well. I ended up going to a therapist, and I was prescribed antidepressants for situational depression, which is brought on by some kind of traumatic incident, and it was pretty traumatic, needless to say. But I guess the positive is, and I don't know if there is a positive, honestly, is that your sense of being present is heightened, and every moment seems so important, and you almost form a mental snapshot in your mind when you spend your days together, whether it's playing with your kids or going to the garden or taking walks or driving or listening to music. Everything seems to take on more importance and more significance, which I think is a good message for all of us when we're not sick.
With this, Katie entered a new normal that, at times, she admits was overwhelming, but she was able to find an outlet through working at the Today Show.
Well, the new normal while Jay was sick was that my entire focus was on him. And I remember I was still on the Today Show, and those 2 hours felt like just such a helpful escape, because those were 2 hours in the day where I wasn't focused on him, how he was doing, if he was going to get better. Were there more treatments that I didn't know about? Was there a clinical trial going on that he could enroll in? You know, it was just all encompassing and overwhelming. But that's okay, because that's how I wanted it to be. But it was just, that was sort of the new normal during the course of his illness. After Jay died, of course, the new normal was that a family of four became a family of three. I became two parents instead of one. And, you know, that was a huge responsibility. And the new normal was just trying to get back to normal for my girls.
With her new normal came the responsibility of having the discussion with her daughters about cancer, something she recommends for parents to be honest and upfront about.
My girls were really young when Jay was diagnosed. Ellie was 5 and Carrie was 1. So I did a lot of reading about how to talk to your children about cancer. And according to everything I read, it was important to be honest and to not guarantee that everything was going to be okay. And I remember Ellie asking me, is Daddy going to be okay? And I said, gee, honey, I really hope so. The doctors and nurses are trying so hard to help him, and he's trying so hard to get better, because I just did not want to raise expectations that he was going to get through this when the prognosis was so bleak at the time he was diagnosed. I was really focused on making sure that my daughters got through this ordeal, this horrific ordeal, as healthy and whole as possible. So I called Cancer Care, an organization that really helps cancer patients. And I remember saying, I need some advice, I need some help. And they told me that kids that age, first of all, Ellie was a very Oedipal age where she was sort of obsessed with her dad. And they also told me that kids don't want to feel different from other kids when they're young. And that makes them really uncomfortable. So someone from Cancer Care came to Ellie's first grade class, and they did an exercise called the Worry Cup. And they put a cup in the middle of the room, and they all sat in a circle, and they had those big fake gemstones. And everybody took turns putting a gemstone in the cup and saying what they were worried about. And her teacher later told me it was the most profound experience she had ever had in her classroom. And I think that it was designed to, of course, Ellie said she was worried about her dad. He was sick. I think it was designed to make sure Ellie knew that she wasn't the only person who was worried about something. And I think that was really helpful. And then after Jay died, I made sure Ellie went and talked to someone. I think she was so young, it meant mostly playing games and, you know, role playing. I don't think it was sort of traditional therapy, but I thought nobody ever regrets going to get help. They regret not going to get help. And I wish I had done more for Carrie when she had turned an age where she could understand a little bit more. But, you know, Jay had died several years before. So I think you take cues from your kids and get professional help, but talking to them and keeping their dad's memory alive was incredibly important to me as they aged. And now they're 27 and 23. And I think they worry about cancer. They saw their dad die, my sister, their aunt die. And I'm going to make sure that they get the proper screening they need, given our family history.
After losing her husband to the disease, her sister Emily was diagnosed and passed from pancreatic cancer just 4 years later. Katie says that despite the devastation of both her losses, she knew that she had to rebuild her life.
When both my husband Jay and sister Emily died of cancer, it was devastating for our families. Jay passed away first from colorectal cancer. Our daughters were 6 and 2 at the time. And it's really hard to describe the kind of heartbreak that ensued after he passed away. You know, our hopes and dreams, what I thought was going to be a long and happy life together, just vanished into thin air after his 9-month battle. And it was a shock when my sister called me just a couple of years later, having read the eulogy I had written about Jay at his funeral. My sister Emily called and said, I have pancreatic cancer and it's spread to all over my liver. So, you know, I think that it's hard to describe for people what it's like unless you've been there. And you have to rebuild your life. Thomas Jefferson once said, the earth is for the living. And we're all terminal, so I wanted to try to have a full and happy life, even if it meant doing so without my husband. And I had 2 little girls who were depending on me, so I didn't really have the luxury or the time to put the covers over my head and give up. Yeah. I think people find a way to go on because they have to go on and they have no choice but to go on.
Following her experience with cancer, Katie has served as an advocate, raising awareness for the prevention and treatment of gastrointestinal cancer and also helping to found Stand Up to Cancer. She most recently teamed up with Your Cancer Game Plan for the With Love Me program that will feature a series of heartfelt letters written by caregivers and cancer survivors to their newly diagnosed selves and other caregivers, touching upon what they wish that they had known when they were diagnosed or first given care.
I have been a huge advocate for cancer research and awareness with my colonoscopy on television, taking Jimmy Kimmel to get a colonoscopy, and also co-founding Stand Up to Cancer, which raises money, which has actually raised over $600 million that goes to scientific researchers that are working in collaboration on dream teams, trying to tackle these cancers and come up with better treatment options. And I've always wanted to do more for patients. Of course, anecdotally, I do a lot for patients. I'm sort of like a cancer clearinghouse. A lot of people reach out to me on social media and through other means, through friends, to ask me for advice or could they? I help them make recommendations for doctors, et cetera. But I wanted to really reach out to patients emotionally and to caregivers as well, because I know firsthand what they're going through. And it's a very lonely experience. And there's been a lot written about the fact that patients really find comfort and support from other patients. Similarly, caregivers find support from other caregivers. So when Merck approached me about this campaign and this initiative where cancer patients can talk about what they wish they knew through writing letters to themselves, I thought this could be extraordinarily useful to people who are going through it right now. I think one of the great things about the campaign is that these patients and caregiver stories are just a gateway to other important resources and information. 13 advocacy groups worked with Merck, and these patients voluntarily told their stories because they knew it would help others. There's something that lifts when you are able to connect with somebody who's been in your shoes. And no matter how hard they try, friends and family members who don't know what it's like can't really connect with you in that profound way. I think the most important message I would give to cancer patients and to caregivers is that you may feel alone, but you're not alone. There are so many people who have walked this walk or who are walking this walk, who you can connect with, who you can learn from, who you can share with, who you can vent to. And, you know, this connectivity that the internet gives us, there's plenty of negative to say about the internet and social media, but the positive aspect is it can help you build a community when you feel so alone. And so withloveme.com and hashtag withloveme are both ways where people can share their stories and come together and find love, comfort, and support. And that can help so much when you're embarking on this difficult cancer journey. I just wish this had been around when Jay was sick or Emily was sick, so I could have compared notes, talked to people, and, you know, learned from them. And I'm so happy that this is here for people who really desperately need it.
For more information on the campaign, visit withloveme.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.